Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to Talk the Tea with E, a weekly podcast for everyone. Join E every week right here on Blog Talk Radio as she opens up interesting conversations about everything from family, love, marriage, relationships, you name it, she's got the tea. This show is brought to you by Heart to Hand Shoebox Ministries in association with Pieces of Me, an autobiography by Erica Patrick Van Zandt. As always, we hope you enjoy the show. Now sit back, relax, and get ready. It's about time to talk the tea with your girl E.
With your girl E.
With your girl E. With
what's up, lovelies? What's up? Happy Sunday to you guys. Thank you so much for coming and sharing this Sunday with your girl E on Talk the Tea with E. And, of course, that's your girl, your sister E. So I promised you guys that Mr. Van Zandt and I were going to bring you guys 4 episodes of the Marriage Chronicles. So here it is. The first episode will be Mr. Van Zandt coming with the 7 L's of marriage. So Mr. Van Zandt will break down what these words mean and how do they apply to not only your life but your marriage. No, we are not preachers. We're not pastors. We're not even counselors. We have not been married for decades, but we have been around the marriage or married bush many a time. So we believe that we have a lot of knowledge to share with someone that may just want to listen, someone that may be getting married or may be thinking about getting married. So without further ado, I am going to bring on my best friend, my Rolly, my king, my love, my husband.
What's going on, everybody? How we doing out there tonight?
All right, Mr. Van Zandt, you said you was going to bring it to him, the 7 L's of marriage, and I'm going to sit in the passenger seat, and I'm going to let you drive, so drive on.
We're going to go ahead and get right into it. We're going to go ahead and get started because I think this is a very good topic that we need to talk about for people who are married, who are in a marriage, and people who are trying to get married and be in a marriage. Some years ago, my father was living out in Stone Mountain, Georgia, and his pastor at the time of the church he was attending did a sermon one Sunday afternoon on the ten things that began with the letter L for marriage. And so my father at the time sent me the cassette, and I used to listen to it. And so I've had it. I don't know where it is, but I do know the 10 words, and we're going to jump right into these 10 words. They're not in any kind of chronological order. As far as 1 through 10, you can write them down, you can look at them, but they're not in no kind of order. So the first word we're going to look at and we're going to start with is the first L is love. Now, love is important because my wife here, who I love with all my heart and soul, she took the time out to write some stuff down on a piece of paper for me, and she's even sent some stuff to me on my phone a couple weeks ago. But I love her enough. We're gonna go right off the thought. We're gonna go right off the head. We're not gonna read nothing. We just gonna get into it because this stuff is important. And so love is the first L, and love is important because you have to be able to love the one you're with.
Mm-hmm.
You have to love them and you have to be in love with them. You know, a lot of people, they wanna get married and for different reasons, because we have kids or because of certain obligations and certain things. They done bought a house together. They done bought some cars together. They done been together a umpteen amount of years. They decide, well, we might as well get married. No, that's not going to work. Marriage is all about love and being in love. Because when you are in love with that person that you are potentially wanting to get married and being in marriage with, that means that you're going to give up some things of yourself. You're not going to hold back. You're going to give everything that you have. You're going to put everything all into it. all fingers and all toes. You're not going to have stuff. You're not going to leave them floating out in the wind. As I always tell my wife, I'm not going to take you to the edge of the cliff and hold your hand. I'm not going to turn around and push you off or kick you off of it. Because I love her that much that I'm not going to do that. And also respect is a part of love, too. You know, you respect them enough to give up yourself and give them everything about you, whether good or bad. And if they love you in return, then they're going to accept all the good and bad about you. You know, I'm in love with my wife, and I accept my wife for all the good, all the bad. I accept her attitudes, her mood swings. I accept all that because I love her. I'm in love with her.
Yeah, I don't have an attitude or mood swing.
And so she accepts, you know, all of my bad stuff. I'm not an easy person to live with.
Sure not.
So she accepts all of that. And so love is the key. That's the link between the two people. It links you guys together, and it makes you guys look at your relationship in a different light.
Let me ask you something, Mr. Van Zandt. Why is it important to not only love the person that you marry, but also be in love with that person? Because you hear a lot of people, you know, we watch that one Love and Lockup, yeah. And we hear a lot of people say, oh, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. Why is it so, you know, why does the two have to go together?
Because if I love you, then I love you. But if I'm in love with you, then that means I'm in love with you enough to give up a lot of myself, to give up all my bad ways, do better in life, treat you better, not hold back anything that I have, be able to just to share everything with you. You're not gonna share everything with a person that you just love. You're not gonna give it all 100%. You're gonna do half.
Yeah.
But if I'm in love with you, I'm gonna do it all. I'm gonna go all out. I'm not going to hold back, and I'm not going to resist the love that you give me, because I'm just in love. I'm just loving you, and you're just loving me.
Mm.
You know, so the biggest thing is with love, a lot of people understand, that's part of being evenly yoked. We're in love when we're in love with each other. So love is the first word that you want to write down. The second word is lean. Lean is a key word, because when you're married, you have to be able to lean on that person, your spouse. Sometimes, you know, I've always had the attitude that, you know, I gotta go to work and I gotta work and I don't try to, you know, beg and ask nobody for something. And so when I got laid off at my job, it was hard for me because I thought that I had this job. I was going to be there for a while, and I enjoyed the job. And I had to find myself leaning on my wife for support when I was laid off. And that was hard for me. But I had to learn that if this person is in love with me, and then when I lean on them, she's not going to look at me in any kind of different light. You know, you have to be able to know the person that you're with. You can be able to lean on them, and they can also lean on you, because it's hard for people to lean on somebody when you tried to lean on somebody before, and only thing they did was just watch you fall.
Yeah.
You know, being married before, my wife has been married several times before, and it's kind of hard when you had a person, you've been married with a person, and you wanted, and you thinking you can lean on them, and they just look at you like something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Or they watch you fall because they don't want you to lean on them. And it's hard, you know. They don't want you to lean on them.
That's good.
You know, and so it's hard. And so lean is key. Lean is very, very important, because that means when your chips is down and you at your lowest point, I know that I don't have to ask that person that I'm with to help me. They're going to already help me. They're going to be there to let me lean on them. And they're gonna understand, you know, what I'm going through, and they're gonna be there for me, and they're not gonna judge me or prejudge me.
So are we talking about leaning just for financial benefit?
We're talking about leaning on everything. You know, I also lean on my wife to pray for me when I can't pray for myself. Mm-hmm. And she also leans on me to pray for her when she can't pray for herself, when things are going through. And we've had that when certain things have gone through and we just get so down and we've been so angry. Whether she's angry or not, she leans on me enough that I come over there and I kneel next to her and I pray for her. Leaning doesn't have to be financial.
Yeah.
Leaning can also be that, you know, I lean on you, you know, to be able to pray for me when I can't pray for myself,
mm-hmm.
or be able to, you know, do things and help me sometimes when I can't do for myself. Mm-hmm. So leaning is not a bad word. Leaning is a good word. And you just have to be able to know you can lean on that person when you need this person and you have this person in your life. So our first two words that we had, folks, was love and lean. Our next word is learn. You have to learn your spouse. And it all starts with dating.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the learning starts, learning their likes and their dislikes, learning some of their habits. You know, things change on a daily basis. I don't know everything about my wife, and I'm not going to know everything about my wife. I'm not. Because she changes every day, just like I change every day. And so, but the learning process and the things that I have learned about her started from day one when we were dating, learning what she's allergic to. I know my wife's allergic to mushrooms. I learned that, and I know that. I've learned she doesn't like this, she doesn't like that. So, but if you are not paying attention, and if you don't have your mind set on the person that you're with because you think that there'd be maybe a slim to slight chance that you guys may end up getting married and have been in marriage, you're not going to be able to learn nothing because you're not paying attention.
Mm.
The day I decided that this was going to be the woman that I was going to spend the rest of my life with, that's when the learning started kicking in, because I have been learning things about her, learning things about myself, learning things about us from day one, because she was the only person that I had my mind set on. She was the only person that I was with. I wasn't talking to her and this girl over here and old girl down the street and old girl around the corner. No, my wife was the only person I was talking to, so I learned a great deal about her. And in learning things about her, also learned some things about myself, some things that I didn't like, some things that I needed to change, some things that was good, you know, some things that were bad. And it didn't hinder me. It made me smile. It made me say, okay, I got to get better in some of the areas that I learned that I wasn't good at in trying to be a husband. You know, for a man, I don't know for a woman, but for a man, the toughest job in the world is for a man is being a husband. Because I'm a husband every day.
Hmm.
Every day. No matter if I'm tired, no matter if I'm sleepy, no matter if I'm drunk, no matter if I'm high, I got to be a husband every day.
My husband doesn't drink and he doesn't do drugs.
So, but I'm still a husband every day. And I have to be a husband every day. And that's hard for a lot of men to try to be a husband every day. But if you learn about your strength and learn about your weaknesses and learn about your partner's strengths and weaknesses, then you can learn to be a husband every day. But you have to be able to pay attention. And so, like I said, learn is something that we all need.
Can I say something, Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Learning about each other. One thing that I had to learn in this relationship is that I don't know everything.
Right.
It's so easy when you're with somebody to think that you know everything and nobody else can teach you anything about what you already know. But you have to learn how to understand that you don't know everything. And it just may be something that your spouse knows that you don't know. And that's also a part of learning. Learn how to listen to what your spouse is saying, because guess what? They may come with something that you have already thought that you knew and you know nothing about. And that's a part of learning. It's okay not to know everything, and it's okay that you marry someone that knows something that you don't. It's a part of growing, and it's a part of learning.
Watch this. I'm about to hit y'all with this now. Watch this. Here it comes. And in learning with your partner, you learn how to fight fair. Some of y'all don't know how to fight fair. I've learned to fight fair with my wife. It's not often where we have arguments, but when we do, I've learned to fight fair. I've learned I don't need to call her names. I don't need to over accessorize the argument. I don't need to have the last word. I don't need to be on top of the argument. I've learned to fight fair. I don't call her names. I don't say anything bad about her family members or anything like that. No, I've learned that there. I don't need to say things to hurt her, or tell her things to hurt her. Because why? That doesn't make it right. That just makes everything bad. So I've learned that. I don't need to fight with my wife and I have to or call her name. So you have to learn it. And a lot of y'all haven't learned that. A lot of y'all are still fighting with your spouse, and you're still saying dirty stuff and you're saying stuff, the hurtful stuff. No, you got to learn to fight fair. Now, some of y'all understand that I don't know how to do that, but you have to learn that. And when you learn that, that's a part of learning the person that you're with, because you know that there's some things in their life that you can say that's detrimental to their character, and it may hurt them, and it may hurt them mentally. The things I'll say that may hurt my wife, it may be more hurtful to her mental stability than it would for her physical stability, because she'll remember I said these things, and I said these things intentionally to hurt her. So you have to learn to fight fair. Fight fair. Learn that. The next word, the next L is laugh. Laugh is good, because laughter heals a lot of stuff. You know, me and my wife, we were talking the other day, and the funniest thing I always remember about me and my wife was we were going to California for my sister-in-law, my wife's sister's wedding, and we were on the plane, and we had a guy. He was sitting next to my wife on the end seat. my wife was in the middle of him and I, and we were listening to Kevin Hart, and my wife and I, we were cracking up, you know, and that was a fun memory, because we laughed and we shared a laugh. A lot of times, her and I, you know, we'll lay up here and we'll snuggle up together, we'll watch some TV, and you know, we'll laugh and we'll have fun with each other, you know, and that's part of being in the marriage. We have fun together. This is my partner, you know, and we laugh and we have fun, you know, and laughter sometimes make whatever day that was bad for us at work, it makes all that go away. You know,
yeah.
My wife has had a bad day at work. I had a bad day at work, so we figured so we start laughing, and it makes us feel good.
Right.
This, some of y'all need to understand. This is your partner. This is your partner. This is your spouse, or this is the person who you in your mind you want to make your spouse. Laugh with them. Share a laugh or two with them about some stuff.
Yeah.
From your childhood, from teenage years, from yesterday, in the next 3-4 minutes, what we're watching on TV, something about somebody else. Share a laugh with them.
Yeah.
Like I say, laughter, you will find out, bring out a lot of things that's in your relationship that y'all might be missing or lacking that y'all need. Laughter just may be the key, and it might be able to open up some doors.
If anybody knows me, you know that I am my mother used to call me very serious, very sensitive, but I'm not used to laughing, and I'm not used to having fun, and, you know, that was never a part of my character. So, you know, when you get into a marriage that you find that you're laughing and you're opening up to different things that you've never, you know, been exposed to, or, you know, you find somebody that can bring out that character in you, like you know that you found something special. For someone to bring something out of me that I've buried so deep in me that I have not had probably since I was a teenager. Like Mr. Van Zandt said, like we can sit up here and think of something years ago, even before we got married, and to this day it's so funny. You know, and it just feels so good sometimes after you've had a hard day and, you know, just to know that coming home to somebody that can make you feel better just with a simple laugh. A simple laugh.
And people understand marriage is good. Marriage is funny. Laugh about it. Because it's good. Marriage is not all bad. And if you listen to people out there that run around telling you that marriage is bad, marriage is this, you need to quit listening to them folks, because whether you know it or not, marriage is good. Marriage is fun. Marriage is, and you ought to laugh about the funness that you have in your marriage, and that all comes with the love also. You know, marriage is good. Marriage is not all bad. So if somebody's telling you that it is, then you tell them I said Kim, and Kim is keep it moving. Our next L is live. Live. See, some of y'all, I probably done lost a few people right there with the word live. Because, see, some of y'all, see, let me explain something to you. My wife and I got married on a Saturday, November the 7th in 2015. Friday, November the 6th in 2015, I left this house in my wife's little truck that she had. I went to the house. I packed up all my stuff. Everything I could fit in that Jeep, all my clothes, my bedding, any food I had in the refrigerator, I packed up all my drawers, socks. If I had some cats and some mice and some little ants that I had with me that was mine, I brought it all here. When I left the house, wasn't nothing there of mine, because I live here. I live with my wife. Some of y'all still got house. Some of y'all still got rooms at your mama's house.
See that?
Some of y'all still got rooms at your sister's house, and you still got stuff in that room. You still got a TV. You still got some clothes. You still got some old dishes. You still got that dish that's been sitting on your dresser that had the Chinese food on it, and it's still just sitting there. See, I live here. When you get married, this is where you live. You live with your spouse. You don't live nowhere else. You don't still have your old apartment. You still paying rent on. Your wife don't know about. That's why you working all them overtime hours so you can keep the rent up on that. You live with your spouse, and that's where you live. And some of y'all need to understand that. I don't live nowhere else but where my wife lives. And for some of y'all, that's the problem. I don't live there at the other house anymore. The day I get married, and some of y'all really need to take a look at that and ask yourself, you can't live in two houses. You got to live in one. My spouse don't live in two houses. My wife lives here with me, and we live together.
I believe that if you still have things at a previous home that you had before you got married, then there is somewhere in the back of your mind that is telling you that your marriage or the person you got married to is not the one that you plan on being with for the rest of your life. Because if you set yourself up to be able to go back to where you were previously,
right,
you have already set it up in your mind that I ain't gonna be here long with her. I ain't going to be here long with him. This ain't going to work. You already set yourself up for failure. You set your marriage up to fail from the get-go before you even said, I do.
I don't care how many arguments me and my wife have or whatever. At the end of the night, when it's all said and done, I'm coming back to where I live, and I live here. I'm not packing up no stuff, and I'm not going over to my mama, over to my sister. I don't live there. They got their own husband. That's where they live. I live here. So I'm going to come back to where I live. I'm not taking nothing over there. I'm not spending the night over there. I'm not doing none of that. I spend the night here at my home where I dwell with my wife and where I live with my wife. And some of y'all really, really dig real deep down in your soul, and you need to look at that. And you need to pull that out, and you need to figure out where you're going to live. And if you're married, you need to live at home with your spouse.
And that, you know, that's why people say don't go to bed married. Don't go to bed mad at your spouse. Don't go to bed angry. Because if you and your spouse get into it and you leave the house and you don't come back that night, you once again have already created a whole different argument on top of the argument that has made you leave the house. That means that when you come back home, now you're not only having to face the argument that you guys had, but you also have to face that you just stayed out all night. Where you been? Who you been with? That's a whole different argument. So, you know, when you live just there with your spouse and you guys get mad, it's okay for somebody to leave the house, but guess what? You got to come back to it. You got to make sure that you guys sit down before you go. Don't go to bed mad. So it won't create another situation that now makes you leave the house again. Leaving the house only creates more frustration for your marriage. So you have to learn how to live with your spouse and be okay with living there with all your stuff at that house and not leaving. My husband tells me all the time, I'm not going nowhere. This is where I pay rent. He tell me I pay your rent, so I ain't going nowhere. He'll tell me you leave. I'm not leaving. And end up, guess what? Neither one of us leave because this is where we live. This is where we dwell.
And so our first five words, just to recap where we're at, we have love, lean, learn, laugh, and live. Those are the first five words. Now, these next set of words, two words that go together, and I put two of them, and I put these words together because they go together. And these next two words is lust and lay. See, some of y'all are lusting and laying with the wrong people.
Oh, you're about to make somebody mad.
We're going to say it again. Some of y'all that's married, you're lusting and you're laying with the wrong person. I lust after my wife because this is my wife. I lay with my wife because this is my wife, this is my spouse. Some of y'all men are going to work and you lusting after the little girl that works down in the can section that got all her boobs and her butt hanging out of her clothes, and y'all sitting there and y'all Googling, y'all thinking about it, y'all Google-eyed, and y'all drooling because you want to lay with it. That's a problem. Some of y'all women are lusting after Mr. Mac down the street because he's 6'4", he's 275 with muscles everywhere, and when he take off his shirt to mow his grass and he's sweating, his chest is glistening. Some of y'all is lusting and want to lay with Mr. Mac because he looks like that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of y'all, that's your problem. I lust after the only person that I'm married to, and that's my wife. And that's why a lot of y'all is having problems in y'all marriage in the sexual nature, because you lusted and laying with the wrong person. I don't care how long we've been together. I don't care how many pounds my wife gained. This is my wife. Period. And this is the only woman that I'm going to lust and lay with, because this is the person that I married. I married her for better or for worse, in sickness and in health. I didn't marry her because she was a size 4. I didn't marry her waist size. I didn't marry her because she was her bra size was a 40 quadruple D.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't marry that. That's not what I married. I didn't marry her to lay. During the day with the girl that work at the job with the cans and then come home and lay with my wife. I didn't marry her for that. I married her because she's the only woman that I want to lay with, and she's the woman that I want to lust after. And some of y'all need to really, really look at that and figure out maybe that might be the reason why you're having some problems in your bedroom. Well, I'm going to tell you like this. A lot of people know me when I tell things like, I'm going to tell you this like it is. And I'm going to tell you like a T.I.E., my grandma always said. In the bedroom when you're married, this is where it go down at. I don't care about no other place in the house. In this bedroom, this is where it go down at. Because we married. And the Lord said, that's a good thing. That's where it's supposed to go down at. That's the person you married. You stood up there in front of the pastor, in front of your family and some other ugly relatives, and you pronounced your love to him, and you pronounced your love to her. And some of y'all now, years later, and for some of y'all, it might not even be years later. It might be months later. Now you run around here, you hop skipping around, you backslide, you sneaking and creeping with somebody who you ain't supposed to be with. And you know that's wrong. I don't care what happens. I don't care what goes down. I don't care about none of that. The only thing that I care about is this is my wife. This is the person who I'm supposed to be laying with and lusting after. And some of y'all need to sit down, and some of y'all need to think about that.
And I'm gonna tell you something. If somebody that you are married to, they are cheating, 90% of the time, it didn't start when you guys got married. 90% of the time, I'll even say 85% of the time, it was something that they were doing before you guys got married. And I'll say 15% of the time, you guys knew. And you thought that when you got married, it was going to change. That's the problem with a lot of marriages. They feel that if I marry somebody, then whatever they're doing before we get married is going to stop because they have made me their wife. And I say wife because as a wife, that's what we feel as a woman. We feel that if a person marries me, then they're going to stop cheating. They're going to stop running around. They're going to stop being abusive. No, 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 no. If that person was laying somebody while y'all was dating, most likely 9 times out of 10, they're going to lay in lust with, if not that person, another person when you guys get married. Do not think it is going to change, ladies, because it's not.
And for men and women, if a lot of y'all women out here who's already got some little crackhead looking little dude, he just won't stop. Sleep with some all these little cluck heads he meet around. He done met on the chat line, or he done had a kid by one of them. All this, and you think when y'all get married it's gonna change? It ain't gonna happen.
Yeah,
y'all already going into it backwards.
Definitely.
So that's not gonna change.
I have to put myself out there, and if you guys have not, you know, gotten a copy of my book Pieces of Me, an autobiography by Erica Patrick Van Zandt, you guys have to get it. I got married to someone who was already married. So he was married, I was married. He left his wife for me because we were messing around. I left. Before we got married, he was still cheating. So I thought, well, if, you know, we get married, he's not going to cheat on me. And we did that. We got married, and, yep, he was still cheating. And not only was he still cheating, he left me for his now wife who he cheated with. So what made me think that I was so special that I cheated with this man while he was already married and it was going to change? It's not going to change, ladies. If this person is lusting and laying with somebody, even his own spouse before you, you are not excluded from getting cheated on, flat out.
That's a problem, man. Some of y'all laying in the wrong bed with the wrong folks. Y'all ain't laying in the bed with the wrong folks. And so you lay in the bed with the wrong folks, and you come back home, and you land in the bed with your spouse. That's all wrong. So some of y'all need to reevaluate and look at where you land at. Keep laying there. You're going to catch something. You catch something, you're going to bring it back home.
So let me ask you a question. Do you think that you know, if that happens in a marriage, can they get over that? Is that something that can get over?
Anything is possible. It's gonna take a lot of work. So anything is possible. You know, that to me, that's a no-no. You know, that's a no-no. You know, but anything is possible. But it's gonna take a lot of hard work. You know, and a lot of people aren't willing to work that hard to make sure, because you figure things will never get, it'll never get back to being right.
Mm-hmm.
It'll never get back to being normal. You will never be able to get that sexual bond back that you and your spouse created, because that bond was broken.
Yeah.
That's just like a cup. You drop a cup and you try to piece it back together. You can get all the pieces back together. The cup is not going to look the same way it was before you broke it. And you make a sexual bond you have with your spouse. And once you break that sexual bond, you can get it back, but it's not going to look the same way it was before you broke that bond. So, you know, it's durable, it's possible, but once that bond is broke, you'll never get it back to being the same way it was. And so we had our two words. We had lust and lay. Our next word is like. Like is a good word because you have to like some of the things that your spouse is doing. I like the routes and the roads that my spouse, my wife, is taking to achieve her dream or to achieve things she wants to achieve in life. As far as her now, you know, doing her podcast and bringing things to you. You know, her book, you know, and doing all the things, her nonprofit organization and everything. I like that about her. You know, that shows me, you know, all the good things that's in her. So I like that. You know, I like the way she goes about it. I like the way she do it, you know. I like seeing it, you know. I like seeing, you know, my wife is, you know, she'll tell me, I go to Youngstown State, I'm on the D's list. I like that about it. You know, I mean, I do. I like that about it because that shows me, you know, those things about her, you know, to her in that way. So if I'm attached to her in that way, maybe some of that she has that rub off on me, that's a good thing, you know. So I like her work ethic as far as, you know, she works a lot of shifts and stuff in the ER and everything. So, you know, you have to be able to like some things about that person. You have to be able to like a lot of things. You know, there's not a whole lot of things that her and I, we like together. But there's some things that we like together, you know. And like I said, I like when my wife just, like, I think it might have been, I don't know, about a month ago or so, my wife said, Bam, I want to watch this show that I have been watching at work on my phone. And I'm like, you know, because a lot of times, my wife, you know, we watch them on Netflix. I'm usually the one that's picking it out. You know, so I'm like, you know, I watch it with her. And it was this little show called All American. And so I sat down, I watched it with her. I watched the next episode. I watched another episode. Also, my wife said, well, babe, you know, I'm getting ready to go to bed, type of the bed. I'm still up watching the little show. So I started liking the little show. And so That was times where my wife, you know, she done fell asleep. I done watched another four or five episodes. I didn't even want to go to bed sometimes. And I was like, I like the show. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that was something that, you know, her that she, you know, started to like. And I like, you know, just like a lot of, you know, like a lot of different shows. Like I said, the Love and Lockup show. Started watching it first.
Right.
And then my wife started watching it with me. And so ever since it's been coming on for the last 3-4 years or whatever, we probably ain't missed an episode. We tape it. So we like a lot of things together. You know, a lot of things we don't like together. But, you know, sometimes that's what makes our relationship good, because a lot of times being opposite sometimes is a good thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, we like a lot of the stuff. We like doing a lot of stuff together. You know, some, like I said, a lot of times my wife don't like me, but that's okay. That's all right. There's still time she may. But that's still good.
So how can I say this? Is it important that you have to like the person that you are married to? Will you always like the person you're married to?
you're not going to always. I mean, you're not going to always like me. You know, I might, you know, do something goofy or something ridiculous, or you know, I might come home from work and put my shoes on the bed. You ain't gonna like me when I put my shoes on the bed. You know, you know what I mean. So, it's important, but it's not important. You know, I would rather have your love and your respect than your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but like is important because we do like to do a lot of stuff together. You know, and that's what makes it work. Because, you know, as we do a lot of stuff together, as we like doing a lot of stuff together, and that's what brings out the laughter and all the other stuff. You know, so, you know, explaining to people these L's is not something that just something I'm doing. People got to understand, if you've been listening closely and you've been listening to them and you wrote them down to see them, they all at some point in time tie into each other.
Mm-hmm.
One can always bring out the other. And the other one can bring out the other ones.
Yeah.
You know, love and lean and learn and laugh. You know, like I said, liking the same thing brings out laugh for my wife. That's an L.
And sometimes you don't have to even like the same things, because, like, my husband, he likes, like, Law and Order. You know, and I think it's just boring. I can't sit up and watch episode after episode from 10 o'clock in the morning to 7 o'clock at night.
She has watched a few of them.
But I do like, I like, you know,
SVU?
Yeah, I like those. So some of them I do like. But guess what? Even if he's sitting up from 10 o'clock in the morning to 7 o'clock at night and he's watching them, guess what? I'm sitting right there. I might not be watching them, but I might be doing something else, but I'm sitting right there with my husband while he's doing what he likes. So you're not going to always like the same thing. We don't like the same movies. My husband hates horror movies. He hates scary movies. But I love scary movies. But guess what? It's times where he say, "Babe, let's go see this movie." And I didn't want to do it, but I did it because that's spending time with my husband, and vice versa.
Yes.
So it's, you know, you're not gonna always like what your spouse likes, and that's okay. It's okay not to like the same thing, but be respectful that your spouse likes something different, and be respectful that it's okay to dislike certain things. It's okay.
Yeah. That's okay. And so our next L is listen. Listen. Listen is hard for people because a lot of people don't like listening to what other people tell them, even if it is our spouse.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of times you think that they're telling you something
mm-hmm.
that's not of what you want to hear. They're telling you something that's not what you need to hear, what you want to hear. But listen to them sometime as they tell you something. It's not about having wisdom or them not being full of wisdom. It's just about the fact that they have your back, and they just want you to be able to acknowledge and just listen to sometimes their ideas, or listen to what they have to say about certain things that go on. You know, listen to them. You know, and sometimes you will be amazed what you can learn from them. See what I'm saying? What you learn from them just by listening. You know, I have been amazed over these going on 5 years and myself, the things I have learned from my wife just by a lot of times, just taking a moment and just listening to her. You know, listening also means sometimes it's therapeutic. A lot of times my wife talks about stuff, and the only thing I just have to do is just be there to just listen to her. She doesn't need me to say anything. She just needs me to listen. Because as me being her husband, I am her listening bucket, you know. And my job is to listen to her, and just lend an ear, you know. I don't have to say anything to her, you know, or rebut or say anything back. But they say listening sometimes can be therapeutic. That's therapeutic for my wife, just by me listening, because she might have a hard day. She just needs to be able to get that off her chest, and just be able to just unwind, unload.
And not only do you have to learn how to listen, but you know, I'm going to school for social work, and one thing that we learned is not only to be able to listen to someone, but you have to be able to hear
right.
what they're saying. Because you can be sitting there just as quiet can be, and you can be listening to everything they're saying. But if you're not hearing, if I say, Shell, did you hear me?
Right.
And if he say, what'd you say, babe? That means you wasn't listening.
Right.
You was not, you was sitting there, and you was probably praying that I shut up.
Yeah.
Hey, don't
yeah.
do that.
Yeah.
So it's very important to not only be able to listen to your spouse, but be able to hear what they are saying. Because regardless if it's 2 minutes or 10 minutes, and what they're saying is something in there that they needed for you to hear, not just to listen to.
And, you know, I know a lot of us don't like listening to a lot of times when, you know, our spouse want to come to us and they want to talk about our marriage. But listen, just listen to them. If you listen to them, you'll find out some things that may be able to help, because they want to tell you, okay, I need you to listen to me about certain issues about our marriage. I need you to listen to me. Here's this and here's how I feel. Just listen to them. You know, just listen. And you find out listening to your spouse goes a long way.
Yeah.
And so let's recap what we have so far. So far we have love, lean, learn, laugh. We have live. We got lust. We got lay. We got light. And we got listen. So we're down to our 10th one, which is the last one, which is for me my favorite one, because this one here is probably gonna blow the roof off some people's top right here. Number 10, this last word is lavish.
Lavish.
Lavish. Lavish means spend money. Some of y'all men, you out here spending money on some hood rap, but you won't spend no money on your wife. You would take that hood rat to a $85, $90 a night hotel room just so y'all can hook up for the night, but you won't even take your wife to the $30 Broadway motel. You know, you'll go out and you'll take your wife, tell me to take the hood rat to the one of the most expensive restaurants because you want to wine and dine her, because you're trying to get in her pants. But you won't even take your wife to McDonald's. That's a problem. You got to lavish. Spend money.
Mm-hmm.
That's lavish is your lifestyle. Your spouse's lifestyle should be the same way your lifestyle is.
Yep.
Me and my wife years ago, we went to Niagara Falls. And so my wife didn't know that I had worked some extra overtime hours and I had saved up some money. And I had some money because, you know, I was going to spend some money on her. So the first thing we went out, we went to a store, and I seen some Fila boots I had wanted. My lifestyle, lavish. I got me a pair, and I bought my wife a pair of white Fila tennis shoes. That's what she wanted. Lavish, lifestyle. We went to a restaurant. I took my wife to a restaurant. And we got all dressed up. We went to the restaurant. And on the menu, I wanted a $45 steak dinner with the potatoes and the filet mignon, the thick cut filet mignon. So if I'm going to buy myself a $45 filet mignon dinner, why would I buy my wife a $10 chicken strip dinner? I bought my wife, whether she ate it all or not, whether she liked it, I bought her a $45 filet mignon dinner too. Almost $100. My wife will tell you, $100.
Yeah.
Lavish. That's the lifestyle. That's the lifestyle that I want to live. So why wouldn't I lavish my wife so she can live the lifestyle that I want to live also? You got to spend money on your spouse. That's what lavish is. If you're a man and you go get your hair cut once a week, well, why you can't get your wife's hair done every 2 weeks if she wants to or whatever, your nails, that's your wife. You got to give her the same lavish lifestyle that you want her to give you.
Yeah.
Or you want to give yourself.
Yeah, because I can honestly sit up here and say that my husband has more shoes than I have now, shoes that he's never worn before, clothes that still have tags on them. He loves watches, and he has his own watch collection. And that's because I feel that as a wife, my husband's fly is supposed to match my fly.
That's lavish.
When I put on my clothes and my shoes and I got my hair done, I got my nails done, when I'm downstairs waiting for my husband, I guarantee he's going to come downstairs and his fly is gonna match mine flat out.
That's lavish.
Definitely.
If you go out and you say, hey, you know, I'm going to work some overtime because my people, they have a 4th of July, barbecue 4th of July, you know, dinner over at the house. And you go out and you get you a $200 outfit, you better get your wife one.
Yep.
You don't care. You don't get a $200 fly polo outfit and tell your wife, oh, I think you need to just fire some in the closet. No. Lavish. You got to lavish your wife. Some of y'all need to rethink what you're doing. Like I say, there's no way you need to be taking that little dumpster trash chick you trying to get into her pants to an $80 a night hotel. You won't even take your wife to one.
Mm-hmm.
That's not lavish. That's selfish.
That's selfish.
You got to lavish your spouse. Lavish them. Lavish means lifestyle. Lavish means spend money.
Yeah.
That's what lavish is.
Yeah.
And some of y'all ain't, whether you man or female, you're not lavishing your spouse. Like my wife say, they fly don't match your fly. If you fly, your spouse need to be fly.
Flat out.
If you bummy, then your spouse need to be bummy.
Flat out.
If you broke, your spouse need to be broke.
Flat out.
If you hungry, then your spouse need to be hungry. Everything.
Everything.
I there's never a time when I wake up and I'm hungry, I go out of this house, go get me something to eat, and come back and ask my wife, babe, you hungry? You want some of this? No. I don't care what nobody says. I don't eat until my wife eats.
He sure doesn't. Literally, he will sit there and we'll have our food. He will wait for me to go take my shower, and I do the same thing. We never eat dinner if we're in the same household without one another.
Because that's the lifestyle that I want. And so if I want that lifestyle, my wife damn well better have that lifestyle also. And that's some of y'all problem. Some of y'all want this extreme, this big lavish lifestyle, but you don't want to take your spouse with you. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? That's your spouse. That's the person you marry. So lavish is a word that you got to have in your marriage also.
One thing that my spiritual dad told us a long time ago, we had a marriage, like a marriage retreat at the church. And I remember when he said, if you walking out looking good and your spouse walking out looking bummy, that makes your marriage look bummy. Because y'all not looking bummy. If I'm going to look bummy, he going to look bummy. If I'm going to look good, he going to look good. But if you looking bummy and he looking good or vice versa, it makes your marriage all in itself look bad. People don't talk about that. I would rather have people talk about we're both bummy. Or I would rather have people talk about we're both fly. But I would never allow nobody to talk about Erica walked out of here looking fly as heck and her husband looked a hot mess. Absolutely not. Because that does nothing for our marriage at all.
It doesn't. Lavish. Your lifestyle. Lifestyle. Now, I gave you guys 10, but I think I need to help somebody today. And I'm going to give you a bonus one.
Where do you get that from?
This bonus one is the one word that we thought that was part of 10, but it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
This burn bonus one is for a lot of y'all want to remember it. L is loyal.
Mm.
Loyal is a key word because some of y'all need to figure out who are you loyal to? Are you loyal to your wife? Or are you loyal to your mama,
mm-hmm.
your baby mama, and some other relatives in your family. Where does your loyalty, where does your loyalty lie? Who's first?
Yeah.
Who's first? And some of y'all got to figure that out. See, some of y'all is putting the wrong person first. See, I was in the Navy, and I learned the Navy. We had a triangle in the Navy. And our triangle starts with who's first, who's second, who's third, who's fourth. And I call that the pecking order. We always call it the pecking order. On the ship I was on, the pecking order started with the captain.
Mm-hmm.
The captain was first. The executive officer wasn't first. The lieutenant wasn't first. We wasn't first. The captain was always first. Nobody was above the captain. Nobody. Nobody was above the captain. In your marriage, who your captain? Who your captain?
Must be God.
Who your captain?
That's the umbrella.
Who your captain? Nobody is above God, but only God is above my wife.
Yeah.
Because nobody's above my wife. Nobody. My loyalty lies with my wife. I love my mama. I love my sister. I love my kids. But my loyalty starts with my wife. That's where it starts first. Then there's a trickle down effect. But my wife first.
And I know for a lot of people that's so hard. It's so hard to put somebody before your mother. It's so hard to put somebody before your children. I know. I understand. When I was married before, let me tell you, nobody came before my kids. Literally, I will put what my kids said before the person I was married to. And I knew good and well that was wrong. I knew that was wrong. But I had to understand that if I wanted a successful marriage, not just to be married, remember we had this conversation before in a couple of episodes before, I wanted a successful marriage, not just to be married. I had to learn, guys. I had to learn how the umbrella of marriage works. God is before my husband because that is who my husband goes to for his strength.
Amen.
But after God is my husband, it's not my father, it's not my children, it ain't my grandkids, it's my husband. Because at the end of the day, that is the person that I run to when I need help, when I need to talk, when I need to pray, when I need anything. I'm not running to my kids. I'm not running to my daddy. See, you can't put somebody else in front of your husband and your wife, but then when you want your wife or your husband to do something over here, you running over here. No, that ain't how that works.
Now some of y'all will say, Shelly, that's Bible stuff. No,
yep.
That's not the Bible stuff.
That's common sense.
And some of y'all who's about to be married, trying to get married, are already just starting off in the marriage. Some of y'all need to understand and learn that. That's common sense. Your spouse is first. Nobody comes before your spouse but God. After God is your spouse. That's not biblical. It is, but it's not. We're not talking biblical. We're not talking from the Bible. We're talking from marriage. What's common sense? And that's common sense. And some of y'all need to go back to that. Some of y'all need to reevaluate your marriage, take a step back, and you need to start really, really digging in and really, really start digging deep into your marriage and figuring out the person that you lay with, the person that you lust after, the person that you laugh with, live with, learn from, love, lean on, lavish, listen to, lay with, you like. This is the person that comes first and foremost. That's it. That's how it's supposed to go.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where your loyalty lies. Your loyalty lies with this person first. All everybody else, they just next after that. They just get take a number and they stand in line. But the person that's already in line is your spouse.
Think about it like this, guys. So you're married, right? And you put your mom or you put your dad, or you put your child before your husband. And, you know, God forbid something happens to your mom or your dad or your child. The first person you're going to run to for your support is who? Your spouse. Because your mom, your dad, your child ain't going to be there. They're gone. So you're now turning to your spouse, who you were supposed to be turning to in the first place. Do you see what I'm saying? There's nothing in the world I can go to my dad for that I'm not supposed to be going to my spouse for at all, and run and talk to my sister to live in California over something that I'm supposed to be talking to my husband for. In that case, why is he here? You have to understand where your loyalty lays. It doesn't lay with your mother. It doesn't lay with your father. It doesn't lay with your best friend. Your loyalty is supposed to be to your spouse. All of those 10 L's that Mr. Van Zandt was talking about, it falls under exactly the umbrella of the loyalty to your spouse, flat out. That's what this whole thing is about. If you can't sit back and do any of those with your spouse, guys, are we missing any of this in our marriage? This is the first time, y'all, I have ever heard of the L's of marriage. I've never heard about this. And I was intrigued when I did hear about it. So I just want to say thank you, Mr. Van Zandt, so much, because I've learned a lot even knowing about him. I've learned a lot.
You're right. No, you guys, when you're in a marriage, you got to get it right. Marriage is like baking a cake. You don't leave out no ingredients when you're baking the cake, because the cake ain't gonna bake right. That's the same thing with marriage. You got to have all the ingredients you need to make a marriage work, and you got to start all these things in the beginning. If this is the person that you say that you want to spend the rest of your life with, then you have to start digging into these L's. So that way, when you do get married, and then you enter into your marriage, you can start to enter into your marriage head first and not backwards. You know, like I said, marriage is good, marriage is fun. No, I love being married, and I love being in a marriage, and I love where we're at. And so, like I said, if you didn't write them down and you want to write them down, 10 words begin with the letter L's of marriage is love, lean, learn, laugh, live, lust, like, lay, listen, lavish, and there was a bonus word, and it was loyal. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Van Zandt, so much. We appreciate you. Thank you for joining me as my special guest on Talk to T with E. And, guys, I thank you guys for joining us. And don't forget, this is just the first episode of the Marriage Chronicles. We will be back next week to bring another chronicle for you guys. I appreciate you guys. I love you so much. Don't forget to share. Don't forget to follow me on Facebook, Instagram, Apple Podcasts. I'm also on Spotify. Please press share. Like this, Lord Jesus, like this. Share it with someone. It may be someone out there, guys, need to hear this. So please share it. So I thank you guys for listening to Talk the Tea with your girl E. And I just say thank you one more time, Mr. Van Zandt.
Thank you.
And we love you. I love you, Lord. I love you, lovely, so much. And have a very blessed evening.
Girl, hold my hand. Oh, beautiful mind, if I show you the way. Girl, hold my hand. Oh, beautiful mind, if I show you the way. Girl, hold my hand. I promise you won't have some brighter days.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to Talk the Tea with E, a podcast powered by Heart to Hand Shoebox Ministries, in association with Pieces of Me, an autobiography by Erica Patrick Van Zandt. If you have show ideas or would like to be a guest on the show, remember to email us at talkthetwithe@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Facebook, and tune in every week to get your dose of Talk the Tea with E. God bless and good night.